Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, as we see the growing degradation of your Son, our Lord and God, we realize that he divested himself so completely so that none of us would ever be afraid to encounter him. We would never doubt the mercy that you offer to each one of us, as well as the forgiveness that you freely give. Grant to each one of us a deeper understanding of these mysteries that we are contemplating, so that along with Mary we may glorify your wondrous love and mercy for all eternity. We ask this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, these are kind of like the scenes in some of these. You can see where Jesus was. And I want you to have a visual perception of it as well. You have Annas and Caiaphas, Jesus. This is really the mystery of iniquity playing out. You have the Sanhedrin all gathered together, the false witnesses. And remember always that this is Christ united to each person, each man, each woman of each time. Now, they sought witnesses against him, and many false came. And finally, there were two false witnesses. He says he was able to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. So they smote his face. They gave him true blows. What shall I do for him in return? Now, we realize that we want sorrow for Christ and with Christ in sorrow, anguish with Christ in anguish. I want tears and deep grief for what Jesus goes through for my sins. And this is kind of like an idea. We have the interior pain of sorrow with Christ in sorrow, but then the exterior pain I contemplate is anguish. And I want anguish with Christ in anguish. I want to enter into your anguish, O Lord. I can't make myself, but I'm trying. If you would be so kind as to let me have some of your pain, I may have it right within my prayer. Maybe you're having a difficult time praying, and that is the anguish of Christ. Being able to do nothing, dryness. Maybe there's physical suffering. That's a little bit more difficult. Just think if it's difficult stubbing your toe. Imagine ropes around your wrists and hands, blows on your face. Oh, Lord, the blow didn't come through, oh, Lord. I didn't feel it. Oh, you will someday. And if it happens, you will be in him and he will be in you. I am living the experience of life right now. There is pain in my life, and I can have interior pain, this sorrow with Christ in sorrow. I do want anguish with Christ in anguish. I contemplate his exterior pain and his interior pain. I feel depressed. I feel his pain. He feels my pain, always both. I live in you, you live in me. It's always together. He never says one without the other. I do want the participation in sorrow and anguish of Christ. But in itself, I don't want it. But with and in and through Christ, yes. For Christ is in me and I and in Christ. I want to feel it. Now perhaps I don't. Someday I will. There are denials. Jesus tried. Paul also was struck by Ananias, the successor of Caiaphas, who ordered the soldiers to strike him. He's called a whitewashed urinal. He lost his temper because he didn't know he was the high priest at the time. If you put all these things together, we realize that he was struck many more times. Now, Peter is in the outer, remember the courtyard I showed you over there? He's in the outer courtyard, and he's warming himself by the fire. Kind of, there's a lady at the gate, and would question him. Simon Peter followed Jesus with another disciple. And the maid said, "Are you also one of his disciples?" Warming himself, "Are you one of them?" "No." Another one, "Wait a second, didn't you cut off what's his name's ear?" "No." Then someone else, and then he swears and curses. And this is in Peter's writings. As he was speaking, Luke says, "The cock crew, and Jesus turned and looked at Peter. He remembered and wept. Jesus heard him deny him." That's how close he was. It is said that he wept so totally and completely and so long over that, that there created in his face furrows that he had in his face till the day he died. After the Sanhedrin, the soldiers gave Jesus a real going over. "Men who hate you do terrible things to you." They were men who were occupying a country. They hated the occupied as much, if not more, than the occupied hated the occupiers. Then they let him down bound, probably in some kind of hold, probably a pretty striking place, no toilet facilities, filled with germs and filth, damp, underground. Between 2 and 6. So we see here all of this. We have seen the disillusionment, we see the humiliations, and we see here the agony, the sweat, the betrayal, the humiliations, and then the dungeon. What do I want? I see Jesus chained hand and foot. He can't even move in a dungeon. What do I want? That all the sorrow of my life will be with the sorrow of Christ. Life-giving grace gift. Done with the supernatural power within my mind. To pray is literally a miracle. For it is way above my human nature. Therefore, it is a grace gift. I want this life-giving grace gift. I want this thing to be permanent in my life. And I want it to permeate every aspect of my being. He is alone, free to think and pray. Humiliation of the locked door. His hands and feet tied, totally unnecessary. The outlook of the next day. Did he go through another agony? The Holy Spirit will help you imagine it. Remember, do it in your way. Jesus prays, the Holy Trinity redeeming humanity in this way. The power of his love. I have adoring love, his supreme dominion over me, my utter, complete dependence upon him. Oh, he is not alone. The Father is with him. He said this at the Last Supper. It was the Father, not my will, but thine be done. The Holy Spirit, not my will, but thine be done. That will is one, and that will is to redeem. Jesus was aware of me, he was aware of you individually, and prayed for you during that time in the dungeon. I must therefore make this suffering really worthwhile? Why did men religious petition the Holy See to loosen the process of secularization of priests? Jesus sees this. The prophet is there in my blood. The captivity of my own passions. Imagine reliving the hours of that day, giving us his body and blood, his farewell, his suffering, the trial, the humiliations. Peter. We seek a union of wills, simply loving him. Now, the entire day before his captivity, they left the house and washed. They washed, bought the lamb. Then there was the preparation for the Passover meal. Then there was the Paschal Supper, where we encounter the dialogue of Jesus. Then the institution of the Most Holy Eucharist, the discourse and prayer, and then the movement to the garden. There he has the agony. He sweats blood. He's betrayed. They desert, and he is arrested. He has an interview with Annas, the trial before Caiaphas, and the denials of Peter, the condemnation by the Sanhedrin, where they all slap him and then spit in his face, the humiliations and the abuse of the soldiers, and then to the dungeon. Thomas had the courage to say, let's go and die with him, when he says, we're going to Jerusalem. The other apostles probably thought over and over again how they could have stayed. But they didn't, they ran. But funny, after Thomas says, let's go and die with him, it took him 2 weeks to get back. He ran so far and so fast. The ritual of the judges, that when one is condemned, a man to death, he has proclaimed the verdict, spit in his face, and the 15 judges all did it. The fact that they had the general meeting of the Senate and his own handed him over to the pagans, he predicted all the things Jesus prophesied made him suffer more. After the year 70, so many of these places were bulldozed over. But the Gospels are a perfect account of the old city. Therefore, all this had to be before 70 AD. Jesus now is before Pilate. Greater love than this no man hath than to lay down his life for his friends. We realize that love is deeds, not words. So we ask ourselves, who loves me? Whom does he love in loving me? And how much does he love me? And how does he love me? These questions are really much to the point, and we can ask them at every single meditation. We realize the gift of the lover to me, the presence of the lover to me, the toil of the lover for me, and the lover himself. We see the deeds of his love. And what shall I do in a world where they will do the same thing to me as they did to him? The Father loves me. I must understand how much the Father loves me. Whom does he love in loving me? Unless Jesus goes through this, I will go to hell. So how does he love me? This is how, in these meditations. Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, the palace of Herod. It's like the White House. The other buildings where Herod ordinarily stayed. The palace was, he didn't stay there. Jesus didn't see him there because that was reserved. He didn't want to go there. There were many memories of his lovely wife whom he had murdered. Herod was glad to see Jesus. For a while he thought he was John the Baptist and questioned him in many words, it says in Scripture. Why did they say that, many words? But Jesus said nothing whatsoever. It's a terrible possibility. Anything Jesus would have said, he would have received a grace. Therefore, if he resisted, he'd be buried deeper in hell. Herod stands for sensuality. Pilate, cruel pride. Possibly why he said nothing. He passed the point of no return. Maybe because of the infinite mercy of God, but God seems to reveal that it seems that he's stopping giving grace. Jesus loved Herod. Don't forget that. Who I am and what I have done is utterly irrelevant to the love God has for me. As the sun shines on the rocks, whether they're dirty or clean. For the first time in history, Herod is recognized by the authorities. So he must have had this meeting in his throne room. We don't know for sure. And he most certainly had his full staff there. Pilate handed him to Herod. Herod was going to show it off. They stripped him of humiliation. In a strip search, in a search, the most humiliated and abjected thing is the removal of one's clothes. First, he said nothing. Second, no resistance to any of the insults. They abused him. The great Pilate had appealed to him in a juridical case. Herod's servant's wife, Joanna, spent time with Mary. They were the ones who arrived at the tomb together. To imitate and be in reality more like Christ our Lord, for this is the real Christ, before Herod, flooded with insults, Herod with his staff of men laughing, trying to make Herod feel less embarrassed. So what does he do? He makes a fool of Jesus. You know, you cannot get anywhere in the spiritual life if you want to be honored. If you got to be praised, no one will put anything in your possession. They just won't. They won't listen to you. If I am put down, it's a beautiful chance to enter into the put downs of Jesus. It is halfway to the cenacle, about a quarter of a mile. They walk through the crowds. Who's that? People can hear them asking, who is that that they're pushing through the streets? Now we need to understand the abnegation. I truly want love and nothing else. I want that great love, all else being equal. I want the inclination, not to the easier, but to the more difficult. Not to the better, but the worse. Not to the more, but to the less. Now this here, we You see, Jesus, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is God made man. So he is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, invulnerable, and eternal. That is Jesus. But we know that he is truly man. We don't see this all-knowing, all-powerful omnipotence. We see that he learns. He grows. He feels. He speaks. He hurts in his humanity. How? I do not know. All that happened to Jesus was truly a surprise. He didn't duck when the man hit him in the face. He was truly blindfolded. He never ducked away to show me how to live in the restoration when I will have to suffer these things. We must admit entirely both. They tend to make things fit their philosophy and theologies. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, invulnerable, and eternal. And yet, he grows, he shows ignorance, he's surprised by the blows. The divinity will always, and in every single case, make it worse, not easier, not less. He is truly human, truly divine. Ignorance, yes. Temptation isn't sin. He suffered temptation. Before Annas and Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin crowd, Jesus stands there with the witnesses. And at the same time, we have the justice, the mystery of iniquity, love, sin, hate, and union with each man of each time. Jesus shares this life with me. Was it worthwhile, O Lord? Oh, yes. The injustice, the humiliation, and all that goes along with it. Now, Judas, sad Judas over here. We find his vocation in Matthew 5, verse 1. The disillusionment, the hump in the very life and the ministry of Christ, the promise of the Eucharist, that's where he began to be disillusioned. 5,000 men, they could start a revolution with that many. And everybody walks away. Peter says, to whom shall we go? It's not cannibalism. Flesh and blood in the spiritual order to be given to us in the natural order. There's a warning. One of you is a devil. The anointing. No, this could have been spent for the poor. He didn't care about the poor. Leave her alone. She's anointing me for my burial. The sellout, how much will you give me? 30 pieces of silver was a contemptuous price. They washed the feet. The feet are washed by Jesus, and it's a good foot bath. Judas doesn't pull his feet away. Judas doesn't find an excuse to go someplace else while Jesus is doing this. He lets him wash his feet. There's a final appeal at the Last Supper. Remember I told you that when during the Last Supper, that last, most wondrous sign of love after the first chalice when the bread is dipped in and is placed in the mouth of only one person, Jesus is making an appeal to Judas. One last time, friend. The kiss of death, really a kiss of death in Matthew 26:45. And then the ending where he hangs himself in Matthew 27, verse 3. Jesus had to pass sentence on Judas. He did while he was being ridiculed before Pilate. After all he'd done for Judas, chosen to be a disciple, one of the 12, he's heard all the things that Jesus said, witnessed all the miracles, and performed miracles himself. He had this wonderful personality of Jesus with him all the time for years. Instead of a return of love, they retracted me. In Psalm 108, verse 4, he was hated for love. May his name be blotted out. No one has ever called their child Judas anymore. Or maybe now in our sick society today, you might find someone. Jesus had no problem whatsoever with the Mosaic law, but he did with Judaism. It went too far. The temptation is to hope that somehow Judas got mercy from God. Yet also you must believe that up to the moment of death it's open, but after that one can't do anything. The two things that Jesus said looks pretty bad for Judas. It'd be better if he hadn't been born. Jesus speaking from eternity in the prayer of the Last Supper, I have lost none except the son of perdition. Past, finished, done. Therefore had he been lost. Then I believe in the infinite mercy of God. So he could have saved him. I don't know. In fact, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, when Jesus appeared to her, she asked, what happened to Judas? And Jesus said, if mankind knew how I dealt with Judas, they would abuse my mercy. We see all the things that Jesus suffers here. All of this. Interesting, if you take each one of these things and you contemplate them, each one is a meditation on itself. The humiliations, the betrayal, the frustration. How many times did he go back to them during the Last Supper? Are you sure you understand? And they didn't. The injustice of every single thing that happened to Jesus. The affronts. The gloating, the hate, the interior suffering, the failure, the calumny, the disappointment, the worrying, the insults. Which means contemptuous treatment, humiliating, contemptuous treatment. What do I see in Pilate that I should pull away from? What do I see in Herod that I should pull away from? What do I see in Judas that I should pull away from? Is it ambition? What message of God do I hear from these men? What do I hear in Pilate? He who exalts himself will be humbled. Herod, sensuality. Who will free me from this bodily death? Judas. Regardless of my past, it is never an obstacle to the union of Christ here and now and in the future. When Jesus is scourged, My back in is in his back, and his back is in mine. My rump is in his, my his in mine. My legs are in his are in mine. Perhaps someday it will be for real. But now only sympathetic love. Possibly even the pain of meditating. Feeling to be any place but where I am. They say that we have find no case against him. Herod returns Jesus to Pilate. Herod's found no case against him. Barabbas is a terrorist, like a terrorist from ISIS today. Now, there were always three crosses prepared. There were always going to be three people killed and crucified that day. So we have the official staff, we have the guards, we have Pilate, we have the balcony, that's over here. Jesus is here, and there's official staff, Pilate, the guards, the activists, and here's the balcony Barabbas has taken over. And then they go out on the balcony and they show them. The Mary group is down here. Jesus got the very cross that Barabbas was supposed to hang upon. Crucify him, they shout. Expedi crucem, which means bring forth the cross. It was already there. Mary, you can hear Mary during all of this. Oh, my heavenly Father, it's actually happening. Pilate calls everyone out. I find no cause in this man, nor Herod either. So I will chastise him and release him. He came into a world of injustice. So I will chastise him. There were two others crucified. Why Barabbas was picked? Probably he was just condemned, so it was fresh in Pilate's mind. And he was a zealot who murdered. Now his wife, she says, I had a dream, had nothing to do with this man. How many times we do something and we think is good and it turns out to be the wrong thing? She came out and gave him time to work on getting Barabbas. Pilate was very superstitious man. When his wife said she had a dream, that didn't stick well with him. They called for Barabbas to be released, and they said, crucify Jesus. This is a few hours before he was to carry the cross. And here somewhere Mary comes in more and more. The way of the cross is 2/10 of a mile. So she was there from when he took the cross until Golgotha, the place of the skull. You know, Golgotha, the place of the skull, was a mound. And the Jews believed that Golgotha was the burial mound of Adam and Eve. That's why on the crucifix that you're blessed with at the end of this retreat, there is the skull and crossbones that represents Adam, who was buried underneath where Jesus was crucified. Mary, the new Eve. Jesus, the new Adam. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, there is nothing that Jesus has not suffered that we could possibly endure. He has suffered all. Grant to each one of us the grace to accept our cross, to embrace the sufferings that come our way. In these meditations, Help us to focus on Jesus and his beloved mother so that we will truly begin to understand the love by which we are redeemed. We ask this through the intercession of the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh.